Sportscast first episode of the year 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, Facebook. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by 12-1 Training. If you want to lose some weight by summertime, start on your New Year resolution. Go to 12-1 Training on Instagram. Those people will show you how to lose weight and look good by the time summer comes, which in some areas is June. Anyways, Alabama has dropped a little bit on the bowl spectrum, but it's not too bad. Citrus Bowl is a second-tier bowl game, but they defeated number 14 Michigan 35-16 in a wild Citrus Bowl win. And joining us to talk to us a little bit about the Crimson Tide, Justin Riley. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Great way to start out the new year by beating Mr. Khaki Pants, Jim Harbaugh. So pretty excited over here as a Bama fan.
Yeah,
excited about going into the new year.
And he was wearing a sweater. It was 66 degrees. I would not wear a sweater. I was actually in Orlando this past week. I did not realize that Alabama was coming into Orlando the same week I was. I was on vacation. And I was staying in the same hotel, I believe, at least for the Alabama cheerleaders. Maybe players. I didn't see any players, but I did see people taking pictures with the cheerleaders. And also Alabama fans were there. So I had a great time.
I don't know why the sports cast wasn't, you know, live with those cheerleaders, man. And getting some, getting some pics, you know, getting a little bit of publicity, you know, doing a little bit of marketing.
Exactly. I did not have the sports cast mentality at the time. I was vacationed out, so which is a good thing. And then across the street, I went to the other hotel, and it was a Michigan fans hotel. So you saw, welcome Michigan fans, go blue. People wearing their, you know, like their blue shirts, blue sweaters, and it was a different crowd. I could tell they were not as nice as the Alabama fans across the street, though.
A whole different kind of, personality traits going on between the North and South there. So yeah, definitely the South always a little bit more hospitable, but you know, hey, as Alabama fans, we always have a lot to be happy about.
And something to be happy about was defeating Michigan. It was pretty easy. Justin Riley, break this game down. Was it easy for Alabama to beat Michigan?
Wasn't too bad, you know, for a second tier bowl, as you said. that's not really a second tier bowl, man. That's really still a first tier. When I think it's second tier, I'm thinking about like the Independence Bowl or something like that. But anyway, the first half, actually, Alabama did have some struggles. Opened up with an 85-yard bomb to Jerry Jeudy, which to Alabama fans, it looked like it was going to be kind of an easy day. But
he was supposed to sit out that game.
According to draft analysts and a lot of the social media folks, he was supposed to sit out. But Jerry's concern was he wanted to play one last game for his team. He wanted to be with his brothers and his competitor. So he was going to go out and he was going to play. And boy, did he ever. Had a monster day, had a career day, had over 200 yards receiving on only six catches. But like I was saying, he opened the game up, you know, with an 85-yard touchdown. Then after that, things kind of settled in, and Michigan played Alabama very tough. Matter of fact,
sorry, guys. Justin Riley, are you still there? The line has been cut a little bit. Hold on. Give us 1 minute. Let me read you what happened. He was
offensive line.
Justin, we lost you for 10 seconds. Repeat the last 10 seconds you said.
Oh, well, like I was saying, after Jerry Jeudy had that 85-yard touchdown, things settled in. Michigan really came out to play and started exploiting the weaknesses of Alabama's defense.
Of course.
And what was really interesting was that they were getting a lot of push against Alabama's defensive front. There were several times they were just getting blown off the ball, and they were able to run the ball pretty much at will. I mean, 5 to 7 to 10-yard gains, you know, dragging players. And Alabama was being very sloppy when it came to tackling. A lot of times they were really focused more on punching the ball out or really giving lackluster effort towards bringing down ball carriers. So the defensive woes displayed just for the majority of the season were very apparent in the first half. Now, after the first half, I don't know what Saban and Golden said to the team. It's a totally different story. The defense came alive and actually held Michigan scoreless, and Alabama was able to score 21 unanswered points. So it was a good day for Alabama. Great day for Mac Jones. Had over 300 yards passing, three touchdowns. Showed a lot of toughness. He hung in the pocket and was very patient and waited for plays to develop. And oftentimes it caused him to take a lot of hits. So he was beaten up pretty good, but he just kept fighting and just showed a lot of resiliency, man. And that really sets well with the players. Najee Harris had a bigger day in the second half, had a slow start, but was able to wear down the defense and finish up pretty strong.
Mac Jones, the future, some say the future of Alabama, had 327 yards. Even one of our commentators, Ty, who was very skeptical of Alabama, said that Mac Jones had a good game. What did you think about his performance?
I think what I thought was a outstanding performance. He looked just really at ease and very confident. You could tell.
Was he playing for the starting job next year?
What was that?
Was he playing for the starting job next year?
I don't think that he was necessarily thinking about that. I think that he was just thinking about right now, and that was going out and getting a Citrus Bowl victory. But you could tell a difference in his demeanor. He played a lot more confidence, and he played with some ownership, basically meaning that this is his team, this is his offense to lead, and he wasn't, the backup. He wasn't Tua's backup. This was Mac Jones' team to run. And just there was just a different way that he approached his game and just played very well. Very impressed with what he did on the field.
Yeah, and folks, to keep in mind that in the past, before Tua or even Jalen Hurts, Alabama has never had star quarterbacks. They didn't need star quarterbacks to win a championship. Right, Justin?
Well, for the most part, until things started evolving offensively across the board, not just for Alabama, Saban would recruit the game manager, the guy that made good decisions and who would basically be handing the ball off to a star-studded running back stable to carry the majority of the load in the offense. And then, if need be, could come up when there was some crucial third downs, need to be converted to first downs. But for the most part, the quarterback didn't have to be the centerpiece. So, yeah, that changed greatly. And then the landscape of things started changing. The game started evolving. And then that opened the door for players like Tua Tagovailoa. Well, before him, it was Blake Sims. You started to see things evolve and change for Alabama. And then Tua Tagovailoa just took it to a whole other level.
And also began with Jalen Hurts as well. He was a very explosive quarterback, obviously, not just in the throwing, but also, well, not known for throwing, but definitely in the running game itself. Shortly after the game, Tua Tagovailoa used Twitter, and he tweeted, "I'll be making my decision on the 6th, meaning January 6th. God bless and roll tide." This has been a big decision. It's becoming more of like a LeBron James thing. There's been rumors of what he will do. Justin, where do you think he's going to lean towards?
Well, here as of late, people are really starting to get the vibe that the chances of him returning are highly likely. And there have been little Easter eggs and hints laid here and there by, Tua, supposedly, or seemingly, on his social media accounts, the Alabama football social media accounts, and, other little various arenas, pointing towards his possible return. And, Greg McElroy kind of touched on it briefly during the game, where it would make sense for him to come back. because it allows him a chance to heal up, you know, prove that things are okay and great, and he still can compete on an elite level. And he definitely brought up the fact that if Tua were to go pro now, or, you know, make the decision to go pro, and this is something I've said a lot of times, you know, he's not going to have the opportunity to compete in the NFL combine nor the pro day. So he really won't be able to showcase what he can do. And really the healing process won't be complete or near completion probably until the later stages of the summer, if even then. And if he enters into an NFL situation, you know, he's going to be put into a position where he is pressured, and he tries to maybe speed things up recovery-wise. And sometimes if you try to do that, try to do too much too fast, it could definitely cause a negative reaction, especially to his body. And he definitely don't want to do that. You know, if he comes back to Alabama, the pressure is really not there to speed things up. He can kind of go at the paces that he needs to go in with the doctors and the medical staff are advising him to do. And there's a little bit of relief there. So in that sense, it does make sense for him to come back. And as I've always said, you know, leading up to this and with past discussions, he may be graded high now and possibly a top five pick, maybe even a top 15 pick. But with all the questions that surrounding his injuries, it's going to put doubt to the minds of the decision makers for the teams, GMs, scouts, coaches, so on and so forth. And between now and the draft in April, there's just so much time where that doubt can creep in. It can cause second guessing. It can make them start to think that, well, maybe we shouldn't spend a first round draft pick on this guy because we really don't know what he can or can't do. And then he drops into the second round and maybe even possibly the third round. So it's a risk either way, but right now it seems like he will be coming back. But I can definitely tell you that everybody's going to be viewing the TV as well as their social media accounts religiously between now and January 6th.
Will this be another LeBron moment?
Well, I guess if you had to compare it to something like that, yeah.
I mean, I don't think ESPN's going to have a special with him sitting down and asking him that question. Are you going to come back? Are you going to come back or go to the NFL draft? I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, I'm sure that the media, sports media, are going to build it up and turn it into an event, much, I guess, like the LeBron James situation that you're referring to back when he was making his decision about playing for the Miami Heat. I mean, it's not quite as large, but it's still large to a degree, and it's something that will get viewers. They'll get this basically, you know, glorified clickbait. You know, it's just great for the media. So yeah, they're going to build it up. It's going to be an event, and it really is. You know, for Alabama, it's a big deal, and what their future is going to look like, and it's a big deal for this young man's future, whether he comes back or he begins the next step in his journey.
And, of course, one person that is really looking forward towards the decision is Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. He's a big Michigan owner, big alumni donor to Michigan, was in Orlando at the game and was spotted on the sideline with Michigan near where Tagaloa with crutches was on the field taking in the pregame warmups. The Dolphins are projected to get him if Tua gets selected. Obviously there's other quarterbacks in line if things don't really pass, really come through. If Tua will not come through, of course we got Burrow, we got Justin Herbert, but Chase Young might be selected in the top three.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, I think the Miami Dolphins would be better served building team up, you know, from the outside in, start getting all the players at other positions right now, start building the team up as a whole before you go out and get a quarterback, you know, especially if you're wanting to get someone that's got the first round caliber. Because if you go out there right now and try to get a first round draft pick and use that for a quarterback, he's essentially coming in there with nothing. He's expected to be the guy right away he's going to have a lot of undeserved pressure put on him to turn that organization around immediately. And I think that's very bad for someone like Tua Tagovailoa if in fact he was to go to the Dolphins, especially in his healing process, his comeback process. It's just going to be too much, you know, for him, and I don't think he's ready. I really do think that they just need to be smart here and just start getting the players, you know, in other key roles first. You know, you got Fitzmagic there. You know, he's a veteran. Ride him right now. Go with him right now. Start building things up, and then go for the quarterback later on.
I'm pretty skeptical with
Maybe.
that, but hey, I respect your opinion. I but
I mean, I
if I have Herbert ready there sitting by himself by time number three, I'll definitely grab Herbert.
Well, if I had to pick a quarterback in the first round, it wouldn't be Tua right now because of the question marks.
Yeah.
It would be Justin Herbert or Chase Burrow. You know, they're pretty much ready. You know, they don't have any question marks physically. You know,
Yeah.
there's nothing that's detracting them right now. So
Which
you're eight.
Cincinnati is projected to pick Joe Burrow?
Right, and I'd be very surprised if he's still available unless the Dolphins to try decide to pull some draft day magic to move up.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, these next couple of days and weeks, we'll see players announced going to the NFL. The draft deadline is January 17th. That's about 2 weeks, and Tua has given to the sixth. I think he should wait it out to like the 16th, but maybe he needs to do it for scouts just to make sure that he makes his decision. And other player news: Kenneth Murray decides to stay with Alabama for his senior citizen. Will this be a huge thing for Alabama?
Kenneth Murray, he's a linebacker for
Oh,
Oklahoma.
my bad, not Kenneth Murray. The other guy,
Little Moses.
Alex Leatherwood. Sorry about that.
Alex Leatherwood, yes. An offensive lineman that's just really a key part to the offensive line right now. And many people actually had him projected to be first round.
Yeah. Mel Kiper said.
Really exciting. Yeah, really exciting to see him decide to come back for one more season. Obviously, you know, he got some feedback recently when people were grading him, and he probably feels like that he's not going in a spot to where it would warrant him coming out. And he's got some things he probably feels like he needs to work on also, too. The biggest thing for any Alabama player right now is unfinished business. You know, there's a bad taste in the way this season turned out. So I'm sure, you know, that had a lot to do with it. But I also think that his draft status, his stock, he wants to improve upon. And, you know, I don't blame him for choosing that.
No, of course. Obviously, if
But
you drop, you know, if you see your stock a little bit down, you know, and if you wait a year to, you know, go up in your stock, you can make more money. So that's why he wants to play things really, really careful here. Moses, Dillon Moses, linebacker for Alabama, announced he would like to stay with Alabama, but I guess well, have Justin explain what's going on with Dillon Moses.
Well, all of a sudden things have started to come out. Dillon Moses posted an image of a legal document that his father drew up. His father's a lawyer; he has a law firm, and he is right now in a dispute with insurance company that you know, which is Lords of London, and they actually are one of the companies that protect players should they get hurt. And you know, if they get hurt and it hurts their draft status, they can get pay be paid what they were originally valued at before said injury.
Wow.
Right now there's some disputes going on. He did get injured, and there's some questioning on whether or not he can still receive, I guess, that same value if he was to get insurance again. But from what I understand, he's having a hard time trying to go to another agency. And he is not, if he can't get covered, that makes his decision change dramatically. Because if he were to come back to Alabama, he doesn't have coverage, and then he suffers another injury like he did this year, then he's losing millions upon millions. And if he doesn't have that coverage, you know, that decision to go pro is a whole lot easier. I mean, we'd love to have him back, but right now it's a business decision. And, you know, from what I understand, he kind of made his announcement a little bit premature, especially since all these things were going on behind the scenes that were just now being made aware of. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and what they're able to do as far as the dispute and getting everything taken care of for his best interest.
Yeah, quite a lot of behind the scenes that we don't really know about the insurance policies and what's the benefits of, you know, staying for another season in the end of, with college football or with Alabama. But it's quite interesting, the whole thing situation with Moses. And good thing his dad's a lawyer, so hopefully it wasn't his agent or someone else that was telling him the wrong things. But his lawyer is based out of Baton Rouge, and it's called the Moses Law Firm. So quite a powerful name. Oklahoma football is losing Kenneth Murray to the NFL draft, a linebacker, pretty prolific. Is this good for Kenneth Murray, Justin?
Well, it's absolutely good for him. He was one of the most consistent players on that defense, which drew a lot of criticism. He was easily the best player on that defense. And if you watch him as an individual and not see watch the defense as a whole, this guy has, you know, first-round quality. And yeah, this is a great business decision for him, and he had to do what was necessary to go to the next level. So I don't blame him at all. Excellent linebacker, and I think he's going to be an incredible player at the next level.
Okay, just to make the rundown, Jerry Jeudy is entering the NFL, right?
Well, he hasn't officially announced his decision yet, but it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that he will be going to the NFL. I mean, the guy's projected to be a top five pick.
Easily. Najee Harris.
He could. Najee has not yet declared yet. I think he's still trying to make up his mind. I hadn't really heard a whole lot about, you know, how he's been graded, you know, other than, you know, some folks have said that he's possibly second, if not third round. So if that's the case, I think he may need to come back for another year, but yeah, it's ultimately up to him. I just know that there's this year, there's a lot of running backs out there ahead of him, and it might benefit him more to possibly come back for one season. But he has not yet made that decision public yet. I'm sure we'll know within the next few days.
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle's a sophomore.
Okay,
so
there you go.
We don't have to worry.
That's what
about
I'm asking
that.
You. I don't keep minds of these, you know, kids, what grade they're in, or they're juniors or sophomores, or freshmen. I know Mac Jones needs to play another year at least.
You need to be dialed in, man. You need to be focused on these players now. Yeah, Mac Jones is a redshirt sophomore, so he has two more years of eligibility should he so choose to use all of them.
Yeah, definitely, of course. Should we grade Alabama this season with this show? Would you give him A, B, C? Let's do it.
Well,
we should have a recap Alabama show in the future, like in a couple weeks, maybe like next week.
Well, we can do that. I mean, we could have a season overview. That's fine. I mean, I think that given what they've experienced this year, just a lot of adversity, a lot of turmoil, just a lot of negativity, they were able to overcome a lot of it and still able to win 10 games or 11 games. And I only have two losses by a combined 8 points. That's pretty good. I know that, you know, it's not what Alabama fans are accustomed to as far as finish of a season.
It's not acceptable.
It's one. What's that?
It's not acceptable how they finish the season, though, with Alabama standards.
If you kind of on a gut reaction, knee jerk reaction, yeah, it's not acceptable. But when you kind of take a step back, you know, just kind of study everything, the logical side of you kicks in and say, you know, all things considered, you know, injuries, freshman playing, just losing to a Tagovailoa. You know, they had a pretty good season. You know, it's not the finish, like I said, we wanted, But we ended on a high note by being a good Michigan team in the Citrus Bowl, and we have some great expectations for coming in the next season. So it's something we should be happy about.
We'll have another recap of Alabama's season. I think we should have a full podcast. We'll go, you know, throughout the season. I think the three major things I want to, you know, be real quick. Their scheduling, their defense, and Tua's injury woes, which what really cost them their season. Those are my top 3 points.
Well, yeah, that's the viewpoints that people have brought up rather consistently. I think the week scheduling actually benefited Alabama with the injury situation, and then having predominantly 18-year-olds playing at key positions in the defense, and then ultimately the biggest blow, having Tua Tagovailoa lost for the season. So I think that played well into Alabama's process this year of just trying to build players up and try to get them along in the process. You know, we still had the opportunity to make the playoffs. You know, had Alabama defeat LSU, we're in. Had Alabama defeated Auburn, still possibility, although remote.
Huge possibility.
Still, you know, huge possibility, still remote. Didn't come away with it. So, you know, at that point, the scheduling really didn't matter. But, you know, Alabama still was able to do pretty well, all things considered.
Ole Miss. Kane Kiffin hires former Maryland coach DJ Durkin as an assistant, who was fired in 2018 after two separate investigations into the death of 19-year-old offensive line Jordan McNair from heat stroke, has joined the coaching staff at Ole Miss to work as an assistant under Lane Kiffin. Is this a good hire, Justin?
Well, I think the first thing you got to see is, unfortunately, you got to look past that whole horrific situation. And I don't know if that's, you know, politically correct for me to really say that. If we can somehow just pause on that for a second and just look at what he's been able to do as a coach, you know, does that really warrant the hire by Lane Kiffin? You know, that's something we definitely will see in the very near future. But I think that, you know, he needs to be given an opportunity to coach again and do what, you know, his livelihood has been for, you know, for several years. So I think that it's a good opportunity for him to kind of get this off of his record, so to speak, and be able to move forward with his career, but also his life. So Lane Kiffin wouldn't have hired him if he didn't feel like that he was very capable and really could be a spark to this Ole Miss team that's in great need of one.
Yeah, definitely take an eye up on that. We didn't talk about the playoff semifinals real quick. What were your thoughts about LSU versus Oklahoma? Really quick, 30 seconds.
Blown away. I was not expecting them to treat Oklahoma like they were a homecoming opponent.
Yeah, that was not good for the college playoffs.
As far as viewership and ratings go, no, but just helps you appreciate more the machine that LSU apparently is. Just phenomenal what they're doing. I expected something around what the original spread was, around 13 points. LSU had a different agenda, blew the doors off, moved on with no problems whatsoever.
And the other game, which was a much closer game, Clemson – Ohio State. What are your thoughts?
Man, much more entertaining game for sure. Definitely worth staying up late to see its finish. And it was just really a great testament to both teams. It really took team effort on both sides to be able to get things done. You know, it wasn't just a single player that was shining. It was a collective effort on both sides. It just but Clemson just had a little bit more. And the defending champ was able to rise and come away with a victory. Tremendous job by that team and those players. And it was a great game overall. And you hate it for Justin Fields. You saw his reaction after he threw the interception. Some miscommunication between him and his receiver, which led to interception. But he'll be back next year. He has a chance to do it all over again next year. So nothing to get down about right now for them. They have a lot to look forward to. But just excellent job by Clemson. You know, great coaching, great hustle, great effort. Looking forward to seeing them playing LSU.
Of course, Clemson will be playing LSU on Monday, January 13th. Another ACC versus SEC matchup, Justin. How about that? Fourth season in a row. Fourth or fifth.
Yeah, seems to be the common theme, man. Just this time it's with LSU instead of Alabama. So it's going to be a great matchup, man. If you love football, it's something that you definitely want to tune into.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting. I mean, there's not going to be a blowout on each side, but you would expect LSU to win this one, don't you?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of too obvious. You know, a lot of times you had these high-powered, seemingly untouchable teams just blow through the season, you know, get to the postseason, do the same thing, and then come to the national championship game, they somehow get derailed. I mean, look at USC back in the early 2000s, where they looked like a juggernaut that couldn't be stopped, and Texas upset everything. Look at Alabama last year, looked like a juggernaut that couldn't be stopped, got absolutely destroyed by Clemson. And, you know, you can't help but think, is the trend going to continue here? Because LSU looks like the obvious, sure thing, and if it's on paper, based on what you see, yeah, you have a right to think that. But Clemson is the defending champ. You know, they've got the heart of a champion. They kind of playing like Rocky Balboa in the later stages of his career, where people didn't think he really had a whole lot left, but was able to rise above and win. So it's something we need to keep a watch on, and just don't assume that Clemson is just going to be beaten like a dog.
Yeah, I would have said Clemson was the underdog, but no, Clemson was the favorite, with the Ohio State game. So don't get me wrong, Clemson upsetted Ohio State. That was not the case, according to Vegas and a lot of experts saying that Clemson was going to win this game, but obviously was supposed to be close. So, but anyways, we'll see what happens in the championship. In football, anything could happen. That is, one touchdown can change the game, right, Justin?
One touchdown, one field goal, one penalty. anything can change the flow of a game and affect the outcome greatly.
Anything else before we head into the game predictions?
I'm just really excited again for how Alabama was able to finish things up. Not what I really was hoping for this year, but just hats off to Coach Saban and his staff. Amongst all the controversy and all the adversity, they were still able to put together an 11-win season. This is the ninth straight year for Alabama to have 11-plus wins, which is a great testament to what Coach Saban is able to do. He's one of the best coaches in the game. Really happy with how the team just came together and played as a family and had each other's back. Really excited of a possible future of Mac Jones. He's definitely shown that he can possibly be an elite quarterback. I'm anxious to see what the future holds for that young man.
Yeah, Mac Jones has definitely had two great games, one against Auburn and one against Michigan, so he definitely is potential to live under that spotlight that Alabama requires you to be. Of course, if they bring back Judy, well, not Judy, probably not, but back those stars. And also keep in mind, Alabama's number two recruiting. They haven't slowed down. If you're in the top three, I mean, and they're way above number three. They're close to number one in recruiting, right behind Clemson by 1 point.
Yeah, there is no slowing down. And anybody who is suggesting that the dynasty was over clearly does not understand football. I mean, the recruiting class reflected the exact opposite of what everybody was suggesting. Definitely the exact opposite of what Coach Ogeron said, that they were going to whoop our tail in recruiting too. Not the case at all. A lot of people still believe in the statement what he's able to do, and they're seeing long term. They're looking at the process right now instead of what's right in front of them. So Alabama's got a lot to be excited about. It doesn't look like they're slowing down anytime soon.
Heart of a champion continues. This weekend, NFL wildcard playoffs begin. Let's begin with the Bills at Texans. Will Josh Allen win his first playoff game?
Oh man, it's really exciting to see the Buffalo Bills back in the playoffs and being a team of relevancy again, man. Just really excited for what that organization's been able to do. I think that the Texans team is a lot better than what they have produced here recently, and Deshaun Watson is definitely having one of the best season of his career. Great to see the Buffalo Bills back into it. However, they're going to make a first round exit going with the Texans in this one.
Ooh, going for with experience. Big game, Tennessee at the Patriots.
Oh wow! This is the first time in a while the Patriots know what the first round is. Yeah, who would have thought? But the thing about the Patriots is, no matter how things seem to go in the regular season, as soon as they hit the playoffs, they push the playoffs Patriots button, and then all of a sudden everything is elevated. And they start playing up to Patriots standard. The Titans are really doing well as well. And they've done a lot of good things this year. Derrick Henry is the NFL rushing champion. Huge, really excited for him. And it's been amazing watching what the Titans have been able to do with Tannehill calling the shots. I would like to pick the Titans in this one, but it's been a while since they've been relevant in the playoffs or been in the playoffs. So I'm going to go with the Patriots in here, this one.
I was talking to someone this past weekend about this game, and he was saying it just depends what day the Tennessee shows up. I mean, are they going to show up? How they show up? It just really depends. Minnesota at the Saints.
Okay, this is a rematch of Minnesota and the Saints from a couple of years ago when the Saints lost on that horrific missed tackle. And I think that's still on their minds, and it's still fresh. That wound's still open, and I think the Saints are carrying that into this game, and also carrying the saltiness of last year's loss in the NFC Championship game. The Minnesota has done some good things this year. However, I think the Saints are a team on a mission right now, and I honestly think that they are the team, unless they beat themselves, who are going to win the NFC. So that being said, they're going to win this game.
The Saints are looking good with Drew Brees. Seattle Seahawks at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, it kind of looks like too easy to pick, just because the Eagles really have just been really inconsistent. They did just enough to get into the playoffs. It really was in their division who was terrible the least. So they backed into the playoffs, not a very good record. They're okay, and they're going against the season playoff vet, the Seattle Seahawks, and Russell Wilson, who's really having a phenomenal year as well. It could be one of those little trap upset games, but I'm gonna go with Seattle on this one.
It seems pretty even. It feels like, yeah, Philadelphia, they're playing home. Seattle's pretty good, but I don't know. I could smell an upset here. I really could see an upset. I
I
think.
mean, I smell upset, but I guess the biggest thing, reason for me to pick the Seahawks is just the experience and just, the Russell Wilson factor.
A
I think
comment.
he's better than Wentz.
A comment from the comments. Will Tua be like RG3?
I don't think so. I think that Tua is going to be able to fully recover and heal and be able to come back, where RG3 was already injured to begin with, and they kept playing him. They kept playing him, and it made his injury worse until he finally had one last thing that completely took him out, and he never was the same again. The thing about RG3 is he relied heavily upon his running ability, and when that was taken away somewhat because of the injury he sustained, his flaws as a passer really started to be more predominant, and he just really wasn't at the same level. Whereas Tua Tagovailoa is an excellent passer, makes good decisions, and he can change the game at any time with his arm. So I think that it's not as severe, and the thing is, they caught everything in time, so they're able to attend to it right away. So I think that he will be 100%, and since he's not a guy who relies heavily on his legs, I think he's going to be all right.
And random question of the day, what are your New Year's resolutions?
I don't do resolutions, man. If I'm going to make a change, it's going to be a lifestyle change. Resolutions are just some fad that people do for popularity. And the thing is, man, it never, ever happens. But my lifestyle change, I plan to drop 30 to 40 pounds this year and get in much better shape. I'm going to continue to power lift and try to win some more competitions, but I'm going to do it in a much leaner state than I am now.
And what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about weight training or losing weight?
I am on Twitter. You can go at Justin Riley 7. That's Justin Riley. That's my first and last name, the number 7 on Twitter. You can find me at 121 Training. That's number 12, one spelled out training on Instagram. Also, too, a lot of times I am helping run the Sportscast Twitter and Instagram. That's at the Sportscast 1. So you've got any of those venues to be able to reach out to me concerning that.
And, of course, you can follow us on thesportscast.net for the latest news and hits. We'll be live tweeting the NFL playoffs this weekend. The only thing going on in football, pretty exciting. First weekend of January means NFL wildcard weekend. Really excited about that. So follow us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1 for the latest and greatest. And follow us these next couple of days. We'll find out who's going to enter the NFL draft, who's staying for the respected schools for their senior season. And don't forget, there's grad transfers as well. People that want to transfer, have a fresh start like Jalen Hurts and try to dominate, increase their stock, and maybe get into the first round of the NFL draft. We'll have tomorrow, we'll have Kailu Borden previewing the NFL playoffs and what could possibly happen if Buffalo Bills goes deep. Anyways, Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here again. Roll Tide.